The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, tonight, we have a bittersweet show as The Expanse has come to an end. It's also a sad night because the 4400 is back. Crap. Sorry. Bear with me 1 second. Darn it. Sorry, I'm having Jamie issues. I'm having technical issues. So while I'm trying to get the website to load, because I had it up, and then it disappeared on me. Well, not so much disappeared as froze. What else we got tonight? We've got Boba Fett, which Karen and I are going to talk about as soon as I get this loaded so I can let her in. Okay, there we go. That was weird.
Hello.
Hello, Karen.
Hello. Hello, AJ. How are you? Boy, technical difficulties,
good.
Huh?
Yeah, I had the website open, and then it, like, I don't know what the heck happened. It's funny because every week I do this. Like every week, the voice in my ear says your show will go live in 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, 1. But it never matches down on the website. So every week I reload the page to get it to sync in, so I know when to start talking. Otherwise, people might hear, And this time I reloaded the page, and it just went blank.
Well, we do have difficulties from time to time, but we appreciate that there's a free podcasting option. I mean, we don't have a free. We're on Rogers Premium Network, aren't we?
We're on Rogers.
We don't have free. We're on Rogers Network, which is a premium. He pays for it, yeah. We're very grateful to Roger for paying for that and inviting us to be part of his network. Sometimes we have a few bumps in the road. Anyway, we're a few minutes late, so I heard you giving the intro. We only have 3 shows tonight. Boba Fett, The Expanse, and 4400. So we're going to jump into Boba, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, feelings, thoughts?
I'm going to start the show by saying Danny fucking Trejo, which is, that was awesome. Like,
that
I'm like,
absolutely,
oh, look.
The highlight.
It was. I was like, look, they're giving him a new Rancor monster. And I was like, wait a minute, is that? I'm like, holy shit, that's Danny Trejo. I was very excited.
Yeah, Robert Rodriguez directed this episode.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah,
that explains a lot.
He is the second cousin of Danny Trejo, and Danny Trejo is in everything he does, I think, right? At least cameos
yeah.
in everything that Robert Rodriguez does. So, yeah. So I think he's directed a couple. Did he direct last week also? I don't know, but he definitely directed this week's episode. So that's why you saw Danny Trejo in it. And it was awesome, and it was probably the highlight of the episode. And I really enjoyed, I mean, I enjoyed that whole scene, not just with Danny Trejo, but I really liked their whole discussion about the Rancor monster and how it basically is like a dog, love and emotion and loyalty, like not just a Star Wars monster. I loved that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I thought that was pretty great, too.
I'd be really sad when
it
gets killed.
Yeah, and it's funny because you see on the internet afterwards, I saw all kinds of people in Empire or Return of the Jedi when the Rancor monster is killed by Luke, and you see, you know, the owner of the Rancor so upset.
Yeah.
And it's kind of there was memes for years of, you know, making fun of that, you know, why is this guy upset? And now you kind of get a little history lesson. And you find out, oh, that's why, because this Rancor was, you know, it was like, you know, his pet, basically, you know, it was like having a dog, you know?
Yeah.
Or a cat.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
Basically,
so
like a dog
kinda,
that is trained to attack but is loyal to you, like a guard dog.
Basically,
kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely put it in perspective, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
I'm sure before the season's over, we're going to see Boba riding it because he makes a comment.
Well,
about
yeah,
it.
He kind of predicts it. Yeah, yeah, that was all. I mean, I'm sure we're going to see him. Yeah, you're right. We're going to see him riding it for sure. That was a highlight for me in what I thought was otherwise not a great episode. I thought it was. Like really loaded, with, not just slow, but like it was like all exposition. There was so much exposition in this episode, and the dialogue to me was kind of flat and not great. And I don't know. I thought this was slow. I thought this could have been better. I thought they could have done a lot better. I don't know. What did you think?
I thought there was one thing that I was extremely happy about in a sad kind of way, I guess. I don't know. So I kind of, you know, this was episode three, but I was over the whole Tusken storyline, you know? You know, I liked that we got a little backstory on them and realized that, you know, not all Tusken Raiders are vicious and every tribe's different. Okay, fine. But it was like, you know, I see the Tuskens again. I'm like, oh, my God, enough of the backstory of the Tuskens. I'm like, I'm so tired of the Tuskens. And then I find out, we're definitely done with the Tuskens because they're all dead. Well, at least his crew. I was like, uh-oh. I was like, well, at least I don't have to worry about Tusken Raiders anymore in backstory.
Yeah. So while the Tusken storyline was kind of slow, I felt like it was investment in something that was going to pay off. And I really I'm not thrilled at them all just being killed off screen. Like, I felt like this, like, It might have been slow, and we've maybe seen enough of it for now, but they're clearly such an important part of who Boba is now, right? Like, that time he spent with them is really, like, informing who he becomes as the Daimyo. And I'm like, wait, all these Tusken Raiders, like, were just slaughtered off screen? Like, I mean, I get it that it's highly motivating for Boba, I don't think it's his fault, but Boba was like, wait a minute, we're not going to let anybody come through this territory and I'll help you. And so I get it why getting, they all got killed is going to be really important, but I don't know. I thought maybe it was going to pay off in a different way. I didn't expect them to all be,
well,
I mean, it's just his little, it's not like they were wiped out as a species,
no.
as a race of people.
No,
like, there
just,
are other
just...
bands of them. On Tatooine.
Right, just his little, his faction.
Yeah.
His tribe.
His tribe, yeah. And he, yeah. But I was surprised, although instantly at the beginning of that scene, I mean, I'm sure you felt the same way instantly. You're like, oh my God, they're all dead.
Yeah.
You right away, they were all dead.
I think it's gonna pay off, I think, because of the Pike storyline that they're going with, where it looks like the Pikes, for whatever reason, were given Java's territory, so that's going to be a battle now. And I think for Boba, it's going to be kind of retribution, because pretty obvious that the Pikes are the ones that killed all the Tusken Raiders. So.
Yeah, it's not clear who gave them. I guess. I don't know. Like when the Hutts say, "Oh, you know, somebody else was given this territory." I was like, "Okay, who gave it to them?" I guess I haven't, like, the meeting of the five families, right? Like I guess
something
the heads
like that,
of all the
yeah.
crime families have a council and decide or whatever, something like that has happened. I mean, like, I can see, yeah, I get where this is going, that Boba's going to go after them. And we're seeing, I mean, basically what we're seeing, this is the story of how Boba, you know, gets control and becomes the leader. Maybe it'll pick up a little with that next week. This has been a very slow developing story, I think. Don't you think?
Yes and no. I mean the fight with Black Karnak was pretty awesome. Boba got his ass kicked. Thank God for the kids.
Thank God for the kids. So one thing about that scene, I was like, wait a minute. So Boba, like, sleeps in this chamber with no guards around whatsoever. Like, I was like, where are his green guys? Where's Fennec? And they eventually all show up, but I was kind of surprised that he sleeps in such a vulnerable position. Like how the murder Wookiee got past everyone surprised me a little bit in the beginning. It was kind of a good scene. I like those electrified brass knuckles that he fights with. Those were kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that, I mean, I know Wookiees are big and dangerous, but I didn't realize that they were, like, practically indestructible. I was like, oh, I wonder if, like, I know that, like, Chewbacca was big and scary, but was he basically, like, indestructible? I don't know. Maybe he was. I'm not sure. But it was a pretty good scene. I mean, that and the chase scene were the best scenes in the episode. I mean, no, the Rancor scene was the best scene in the episode. But I mean, partly because I mean, again, I'm going back to, like, I just felt like a lot. This was so heavy on exposition and on coincidence and things I don't know. Felt like everywhere Boba goes, he just happens to run into exactly the person he needs to speak to at this moment to move the story forward. Bad dialogue, like when the watermonger comes in and says, nobody respects you. I mean, I get it. He's brazen, but I just felt like I'm going to have to, like, think. Now, I should be citing examples of horrible dialogue, but I just felt like it wasn't well written. And I wish Boba would have some better dialogue. I wish Fennec would have something to do other than, like, sit around and be like, I'm really happy to be rich, which I get it, but she doesn't really, she's not the badass that we saw in The Mandalorian. And I'd like to see her maybe get a little, I realize this is not the book of Fennec Shand, it's the book of Boba Fett, and we're supposed to be seeing his origin, but I don't know. Episode 3, I need to, like, let it go and be like, it's episode 3, Karen, we're still in setup mode, right? We're still, like, setting up what this show is going to be. But there's only, like,
you know what's funny?
10 of them, right?
I think so. I'm not even 100% sure.
Yeah, so
you know what's really funny,
halfway.
Though, actually? Is every time I see Fennec sitting on the throne next to Boba, all I can think of is, oh God, I can't think of its name now.
Yeah.
Crap.
That sat next to Java?
Yes. That's what I think,
like,
every time
rat.
I see Fennec sitting there.
He was like a little rat that laughed all the time.
Yeah, I was like, couldn't they have her sit somewhere else?
Yeah. What'd you think of Jabba's new gang? Like, he whole bit where he hires a bunch of, like, who did I say?
He's a Jabba.
Boba's new gang. So Boba, like, goes to deal with the watermonger because no one, like, Boba's got this problem that nobody takes him seriously, right? Which seems to me to be surprising, but I guess maybe no one's ever, like, did no one ever hear of Boba Fett before? Like I would think everybody would be like, holy shit, he survived the Sarlacc pit. This guy's a badass. I'm surprised that everybody's either never heard of him or doesn't care about him. Because, like, just surviving surviving a Sarlacc pit and all that. And he was Jabba's henchman, right? He was Jabba's bounty hunter. Like, people should know who he is, but at any rate, he goes into town and the horrible gang is, like, a bunch of sullen teenagers who ride Vespas. Like, I basically felt like that chase scene was a Cadillac being chased by Vespas, right? I was like, wait, this is all he can get to be his gang? There's, like, a bunch of, like disaffected youth? I don't know how I feel about them. I think a lot of people liked them. And I was, like, kind of like, really, of all the people on Tatooine, Mos Eisley is he's putting together a crew, but this is who he gets on his crew. He's got, like, an amazing assassin and a bunch of Vespa-riding, like, teenagers who have modifications to their body or whatever, right, who have droid modifications. I don't know. I have a feeling maybe I don't know if any of them will turn out to be, like, a Star Wars, like, were any of them going to be an Easter egg of a character who later develops, or are they just going to turn out to be badass? They're a good fighter. I mean, he hires them basically. I do kind of like the way Boba approaches his power struggle and his negotiation and how he's like, this guy comes and he's like demanding that Boba do something about the teenager stealing water. And Boba quickly assesses the situation and was like, wait a minute. Do you want to work or not? I'll just hire you. Like, what? I'm not going to beat these people up. I'll just hire them. And then he pays off the water guy and is like, look, I'm giving you 500, take it, or, I'll beat the shit out of you. I like his approach to trying to figure this out, be a better, he wants to rule with respect. We get that. And I guess part of ruling with respect is, like, people have to, like, kind of agree with the decisions you make and respect the decisions you make. So I kind of, I don't know, I like that aspect of it. I like that. I think seeing Boba's background, what he's been through, the Tuskens and everything, kind of, like, is making him that person who wants to lead this way, right? Like, everything he's been through. I don't know. Like, I kind of like his approach. I mean, I guess it has to be that way. They need to make him a little bit of a complex character. Like they can't make a whole show about a guy that just comes in and is like, all right, I'm going to go crack some heads and kill everybody. I mean, they could, but it wouldn't be that interesting, right?
Boba's kind of becoming, a leader of the people, That's why I think part of the reason he hires those kids, because the watermonger, he's overpricing the water really bad, and that's why the kids, they're like, screw. And they, because they can't live, people can't live without water, So this guy is taking advantage of the situation.
Right.
And, the girl, I forget what specifically what she says to Boba, but basically it's like, it's survival of the fittest out here, We can't get jobs, so we can't pay for anything, which is why he hires them. And they're all kind of like, wait, we didn't expect that, because usually, whoever's in charge is an asshole.
I was just thinking of that, how he's like, all right, well, get a job. And they're like, look around, dude, there are no jobs. And he's like, oh, which, I feel like that was really interesting. That's part of like political discourse in our country today. There's a certain element of our society who believes that people are poor just because they don't get job, like they don't want to get a job, right? But maybe there are no jobs. So I was like, oh, there's a little like bit of a social awakening there for Boba Fett in that moment. That was kind of, I mean, yeah. So you're saying he wants people to like, he says respect, you say like, but same way, like they want to be, he wants them to be satisfied with his rule, not to rule by fear like Jabba did,
right,
but to rule by kind of like, you know, I have this friend who lives in LA. He used to live, this happened a while ago. This guy lived in LA and he lived in like a neighborhood that had gangs. It was a while ago. I mean, still gangs, but anyway, he got mugged in the 7-Eleven. And the next day, the local gang guys came to him and they were like, listen, we're sorry you got mugged. That was some guy from the other gang who, and like, this is our territory and nobody can mug our people. Only we can mug our people. Those guys, like, he's like, we don't mug the people in our neighborhood. And they apologized to him for like other people like coming in. And
yeah.
I guess that's who Boba kind of wants to be. Like, I'm the criminal warlord around here and I'm not going to like persecute the people who live under me. Boba will extract protection money from the Pike because they're a big crime syndicate, but he's not going to extract protection money just from the regular people.
Right.
Kind of thing. So he's really being humanized a lot. I just thought the dialogue was stilted and stiff and not not the way people talk. And it was very, well, there was so much exposition. Like that whole bit where the droid is explaining, like, so these people control this part of the town, and these people control this part of the town, and those people control, you know, and he gives them this whole, like, explanation, which was helpful. I don't know. It was really helpful, and at the same time, it was a little TMI, and it was information that I'm like, how did Boba Fett get episodes without learning this yet? Like, no wonder he has no control over everything. He doesn't know the first thing about the property place he took over, which is, like, kind of crazy because this is only 5 years. I don't know. I guess, I mean, he couldn't know it because he was in the Sarlacc pit while all this was happening, right? But he, like, took over and didn't, like, try to learn the first thing about the place he was governing. Like, come on, Boba, rookie mistake.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Jamie is here.
Okay. Hello.
Well, shoot.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, that's funny.
Hi.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi.
I love this website.
Hi, sorry about that. But you guys were talking about Boba Fett, so you're good.
No,
yeah.
That's all right. It was perfect timing.
Okay, good.
We're
all
good.
Right. Well,
welcome, Jamie.
All that's on that I've seen is 4400 High. Although I've been watching screeners all day, I'm TV'd out. When you have to sit for 8 hours worth of, well, 7 hours because I have one left, worth of, not 8 hours, but 8 episodes, you know what I mean, worth of stuff in one day, it gets to be not fun after a while, whether it's a good show or not. It gets to be a little tiring.
It's a chore.
But, but no, they're good shows. It's just a lot at once, but that's a whole other issue, and that is my But anyway.
All right.
So
did you,
but,
you watched 44? 4400.
Yes, I did take, I forgot, yes, I did watch 8 hours then because I watched that too. I forgot about that. But yeah, I did. I watched that this evening. All right, well, I guess we can talk about it. As usual, it wasn't all that great. I mean, it had some good moments, but I found it mostly annoying this week. I, to begin with, I got to ask you guys, because the one thing I didn't understand, and I know I never remember their names, but the one that's the lawyer, I thought she didn't sign the papers. So why was the hotel? So why was she stuck in the hotel with him? That made absolutely no sense. Or was she just choosing to, like, you know, be equal to them? I don't know. That made no sense to me.
She was able to come and go as she pleased until her and the Reverend tried to leave that one time, and they were like, no, you can't leave for your own protection. And she's like, we didn't sign anything.
But that was supposed to be because they had signed that paper. She wasn't under their protection because she didn't sign it, so she should have been able to leave.
No.
That made me...
Exactly. That was her... that was her argument. She even said that. We didn't sign this. And they're like, it has nothing to do with whether or not you signed it. We don't, this is for your protection. The people out there want to hurt you. Like, it was all bullshit.
It's government
bullshit. Okay, I guess I wasn't listening close enough to get that.
Jamie,
made no sense.
To be fair,
what was the point?
I was only half watching it myself. I was doing other stuff while I was watching it because, honestly, I just want to see the finale because I'm curious to see what the original creator is going to do with it.
It wasn't, and now that one lady ends up a mole, which was really annoying. Like, she was...
You misread that. She's not a mole, you guys. She said...
Well, no,
she's not.
Mole. She was always on the other side. But I'm just saying, she was pretending to be his friend, but
She's pretending to be she's pretending to be an informer for Jessica, and because she said to Andre... can I have this? Do you trust me?
Oh,
and I said yes.
She said, do you trust me?
I think she put false information on it or something to try to make Jessica like her. So she's a mole for the 4400.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. But, this is another one of those things with this kind of show that we talked about before where they make it so freaking – they go from point A to point B to point C to point D, like just to make one – like. I don't know. Like, they make it way more confusing than it needs to be, in my opinion, on things like that. Like, why?
I mean, that's my interpretation of that.
No, you might be right.
Right?
She did say, do you trust me? So
you might be right. And honestly,
think she's fat, but I wasn't paying enough attention to catch that either, apparently. Because
I heard her say, do you trust me? I didn't see that he gave her the flash drive. So I... completely misread that scene because I missed a very important piece because, again, I was only half watching.
Yeah, he took it. Well, that's what I feel like. I was watching it. I think I was eating dinner while I was watching. I don't know. I was watching it, but I was half watching it like you. So you should. The show does not have enough sci-fi elements that you feel like you should have to pay that much attention to it, and that's what's bad. It's like it doesn't have the science, but yet it's like, it's not great.
You know what else this show doesn't have? Logic.
What's that?
Knowing that the Reverend took, what's her name? Millie? Is that her name?
Yeah.
The telekinetic one.
Millie. Yeah, it's Millie.
Okay.
Millicent.
Knowing
Millicent,
that he took her,
right?
He took her powers.
Mildred.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mildred.
Yeah, Mildred.
He took her powers. So. The smart thing would be to take her and be like, you people are crazy. The government's trying to make things look like they aren't. Like, look, she can't do anything. She has no powers. What are you people talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
That would be a smart move.
That they faked it.
Well, I also feel a little bit like, I guess nobody on the show has ever watched science fiction because I feel like if you take powers away, you need to double check and make sure you didn't absorb and get their powers. Like, to me, is that possibility still out there, right?
The other one, he was going to transfer powers is what I wondered.
I thought the same thing. I actually thought that this week when he took the lawyer lady, took her power.
That she would end up.
Shanice,
yeah.
That's when I actually... thought to myself, I was like, ooh, I wonder if he, has everybody's powers that he takes. Like, I don't know what made me think that all of a sudden after Shanice, but I thought that, too.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to Andre with healing people and then having to unload it somewhere. And that was a pretty good idea with a rat.
It was a pretty good idea
that
and very impressive.
I did not like he hurt the rat. I was like, no, give it the
really,
rat.
Really, Jamie?
The rat.
Have you ever lived in a city?
Like, no, don't hurt the animal, damn it. That's what I was like.
Oh, my God.
I know it was just a rat, but still.
Have you ever lived in a city with with big disgusting city rats around, because let me tell you, they should be killed.
No, but I'd probably be like, oh, it's a cute mouse.
No, you would not. You would not.
Karen, I like to snakes. I probably would be.
To me, the least believable part of that whole thing was that the rat just stood there and let him touch it. Rats are freaking fast.
Just
stood there and touched it. It was actually a very good idea. The whole thing kind of reminds me a little bit of, you know how in the Green Mile where John Coffey could take away people's like pain and sickness and evilness out of them, but then he would have to spew out all those black like ashes would come out of them. And I kind of felt like, that's kind of like what's going on here. But it was smart and he did put it into Percy in the movie. But he's able to put it into someone, into the rat. That was kind of interesting. I mean, I think part of the problem I have with this show is that the show is just not real. The show is very invested in political commentary about overreach of government treating others badly. Like, they're very interested in, like, I feel like there's a lot of, like commentary on how our government treats immigrants and other kinds of people. And not really invested in doing anything at all interesting with these powers. It's just like the power is the power is not the show. The power is like the excuse they're giving the government to behave this way, right? I feel like they're really invested. They're just invested in having something to say about. Look, and not that I don't agree. Like, I agree, our government, my personal politics are that the government is treating a lot of immigrants really badly in a lot of ways, and other kinds of people, and government overreach and whatever. But, like, I can watch the news if I'm interested in that. Like, I'm not against, all good science fiction is, like, metaphor for, like, different things about humanity, but give me some powers and something interesting going on here, right?
I was thinking the same thing tonight. I'm watching this, and you're going to find this statement funny, talking about a quote-unquote science fiction show. Nothing has happened is realistic. It's not realistic in the least. Like, the whole government side of things is so completely unrealistic. Like, yes, can there be abuse of power in the government? Absolutely. We live it. But to the degree that it's happening on this show, it's like this entire show is encapsulated in the hotel, and anything inside the hotel, it's just like, I find it hard to believe that they have this much power, this quickly in this situation. Like, how is there nobody? You're telling me everybody in the outside world, if you're not a 4400, everybody is against them? There's nobody out there trying to stand up for them. I mean, we have people. I mean, we have stuff that can happen in the state of Washington, and there will be protests in New York a day later. You know, we're seeing none of that on this show, which is ironic considering.
We need to throw.
I forgot her name again, but the lawyer lady and
Denise.
Josh.
Yeah. Josh,
I finally remembered his name. Yes.
Logan.
Dear God, why do I want to call him Josh? See, that's how bad this show is. I can't even remember their names. 9 episodes, can't remember anybody's name. Shanice and Logan met at a protest. So there's some irony for you. I mean, the show is so unrealistic. And you know what? I get it. The creator of the show, they're making a point, but in making their point, they're making bad television. Aside from that, Jamie, it's bad television. You're concerned with trying to make your point about the government. What you're doing is making a bad TV show.
So I can't believe I'm going to say this, but.
Uh-oh.
Manifest, like, did a better job.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to say I don't want to say anything about Manifest was nuanced, but in Manifest, there are people, there are the Xers who are anti planes. I want to say it was Oceanics, whatever that plane was, Montego Airlines, whatever, right? There are the Xers who are really against them, but there's also all the people who think they're God, that God brought them back, and that's like a sign from God, and that they're, right? Manifest gave us a wide range of the public's reactions to these people coming back after being missing for 5 years, which at its core is the exact same thing that's happening on this show. People were gone for a number of years and came back. And on Manifest, the people have power, sort of, right? Some of them, a lot of them have visions. So Manifest gave us, like, at least a couple of different people types of reactions to this happening. And it gave us a more secretive and insidious government plot where we've got, like, ham-handed. I can't believe that these Homeland Security units could ever keep anything a secret.
Government is evil, period, is the whole message on this.
Yeah, the government doesn't really, like, one thing that's missing is none of the government people have any, not even believable motivation, just any, I don't think anyone's got a stated motivation for really why they want to keep the 4400 locked up. Like, because they always were, like, even before any powers were displayed, they wanted to keep them up because they were a danger, whatever that means, right?
But there was
There never was a and it's like, the only person who's with the government who's not totally a quote-unquote bad guy is, I forget her name because at the show, the woman who was helping the computer, the IT lady, who has helped them a lot. You know, who also is a woke, queer person of color, which is fine, except, like, that's giving this one character a whole lot to carry. I think she's not a mole for the government. She's helping the 4400, but that does remain to be seen. We'll see if I'm right about that. They're just throwing there's so much being thrown in here, and the conservatorship's being, like, triggered, and, like, all this stuff, and, like, the original 4400 put them out into society very quickly. Like, episode one of the original 4400, they were already going out to society, which is so much more interesting. Like, I don't know, did they not want to shoot on locations because of COVID? I mean, they're on a soundstage. They should be able to, like, create some other sets. I don't know why they're determined to really have almost this entire show set inside the hotel. I guess it's easier. There are a lot of people in this cast. It doesn't really seem necessarily to be a COVID thing, except in the sense that the whole industry is affected, right? But it's a big cast.
They did mention COVID this week, at least.
I think Manifest kept them in locked up for a short time, and the original 400 kept them locked up for a short time, and that was really interesting to see them go about. And we haven't seen anybody try to assume their old life except for Shanice. LaDonna is assuming her own life, and she's, like, basically written off for a few episodes. Like, it might be kind of interesting to see what's up with LaDonna. It was kind of ominous that people are like, oh, I haven't heard from LaDonna lately. I'm like, are you being written off the show? Did LaDonna maybe not really go home to her dad? Maybe LaDonna thought she was going to visit her dad and she's been locked up by the government somewhere because she acted out?
Yeah, we don't know.
We might never know. Because I might be giving the show too much credit that they thought of that. Maybe LaDonna truly was just not in for a few episodes. Because they did
who's the one that Jor-El, what's the healer, the one Jor-El's sleeping with?
The lady from the 50, the protest lady, her name is, I want to say Camille, but that's not it. Her name is, But they said her name in this episode.
But that's the other one.
All right. Regardless of her name,
anyway,
where's she been the last two episodes?
Bartending school. Remember, she went to bartending school.
Bartending school. That's right. See,
right? Okay, have you ever been a bartender? Because I didn't go to any bartending school. I just learned how to be a bartender in the bar on the job,
yeah.
Right? I mean, bartending schools, but I think you go, every Wednesday for a month to bartending school at night. Like, you don't go to bartending school like you went away to college or something. It's one hell of a bartending school,
so
she's at.
They needed something, so they went with that.
Yeah, I don't really... But that's where she supposedly is, at bartending school. Now, she's in the promo for next week, so she's not abducted by the government.
What do we think Jarell's being framed for, by the way?
Oh, why he was arrested? I think whatever maybe they're trying to frame him for the data that they got from the hospital, which that's annoying how they keep saying from Ipsy-Med. Like, can you just say from the hospital? Do you have to remind us of the name of your hospital every week? But what am I trying to say here? I wonder if it has something to do with that data, right? Because we see the scene where the IT lady turns in the thing, and then he's being arrested at the end. So I wonder if he's being, even though he had nothing to do with that, right? That was, or he had little to do with
that.
Well,
it's vague. They didn't even tell him what he was being arrested for. They just said you're under arrest. They didn't give him anything.
He's a 4400, not a 4400. He's a citizen. You can't do that. But another thing that makes
sense.
Sure you can.
You can arrest a citizen if you have reason
to.
No,
I know. But I mean, in real life, you can't.
But you also tell them why you're arresting them.
That's what I mean. They didn't even, did they even read him as right? I don't even know if they read it. I don't pay enough attention to remember.
I presume they read him his rights as they went through the whole process. They can read you your rights, when you get to the station. They don't have to read you your rights on the spot. Like, on Law and Order, they always read them their rights when they get down there to the station.
But you do have to tell somebody when you arrest them what you're arresting them for.
Yeah,
you can't just grab them.
Yeah. And also, he didn't – those looked like police, the blurring the lines of, police. And so all those guards in the hotel who I thought were rent-a-cops all this time apparently are Homeland Security officers, I guess. Now they're getting hired by Homeland Security, right? They were, rent-a-cops, and in the end, that really jerky guy who's sort of the ringleader was like, oh, we're getting real jobs with benefits now. I'm really glad to see that thing on the show because it's not good, but I was a little bit, that one guard who's a little nice, I was glad to see that they're at least putting a little bit of somebody who's not completely a caricature. I mean, he still kind of is, but they at least had this one guy who's a little bit, regretful for what they're doing, right? And a little bit the one security guard who's been a little bit nicer and then he gets hurt in this episode, but then he's freaked out when he gets
healed. Yeah, who wasn't in this
And then it's given an explanation because he apparently is he's Asian American and it must have been hard for his family during the pandemic, being blamed for everything, and Asian American hate or whatever. On the one hand, I was appreciating, that explanation of, why people, it's because they're, people, call attention to others because they're afraid themselves, right? People demonize others because they're afraid or whatever. So I appreciated, maybe there's a little bit of something trying to go on there, but then they just made it. I was like, here we go again. Now they're throwing in, it is the political flavor of the week on this show. I really don't care that they went to a pride thing, but this week it was Asian American hate. A couple weeks ago it was pride. A couple weeks ago it was this, a couple weeks that. I I mean, these are mostly political positions that I agree with, and yet I'm sick of seeing a different one every single week on a show where nobody ever uses their powers, which is what I wanted to watch, a show about people who have powers. I just can't believe the original 40 for 100 was, like, good, but it wasn't, like, Emmy-worthy. And the more I watch this, the more I'm like, God, that show was so good. So, like,
I know. I feel like so... that show is so bad compared to that.
That's what I'm thinking the whole time.
I mean, and that show
lasted, what, 4 seasons or something?
Yeah.
Although this one did, too, because it's on the CW, not because it's good.
And the original, when did the original came out? In the early aughts, right? I mean, that was definitely a post-9/11 show, right? I mean, that also had a lot going on with, like,
yeah, it was 2004, I think.
You know, yeah. I mean, that was you know, part of that whole, like, all kinds of post-9/11 shows we got in. It definitely was about, like, the government going after the other, people who are different or people, you know. But it was
but
so much better.
Show.
Well, I mean, it was there, but they...
plot beyond that.
Yeah. I really am not sure what's going to happen also now that our two main characters, like, both have quit. Like, there are two main people representing the...
Well, one got fired.
So Denise quit her job. Well, one got fired and one
yep,
quit.
And quit.
So now, our two main people on the inside...
Well, they have... Maybe.
Well, I mean, now we have IT Lady, but, like, what's going to be the purpose of these two characters if they're not, like, are they just going to be, like, private citizens who... want to help the 4400? I guess they'll get their jobs back. They're just not that interesting or useful to the show if they're not, I don't know, part of what's going on. I don't know. This show is just so neat to, like, lean into it, science fiction itself a little bit more. Anytime that I'm comparing Manifest favorably, you know the show has problems, right?
Listen,
yeah.
The biggest problem we had with Manifest in the first couple of seasons was the acting, actually.
Yeah.
The storyline has always been pretty good on Manifest.
Well, the writing
for
has
the
been
most
a problem
part.
On Manifest.
I said for the most part. There have been
the
issues
part.
Here and there, you know.
Yeah.
No show's perfect.
Fair enough.
But this, you know, and I don't know.
This show is not good.
I need
them to, I mean, Jamie, you've said it, AJ said it first in our discussion tonight, there's just no science fiction happening on this show. They could be people who...
I watched it for what I started watching for. I mean, now I'm watching it because we're doing a podcast on it.
That's
what I started watching it for.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically just undocumented people, right? They're basically just, I mean, the fact that they're, I mean, and now they have these powers. I mean, I don't know. I can't even
right,
do this show.
We're going around and around belaboring the same point.
Yes. We have no more coherent conversation to give about this show tonight. How many episodes are left? Just a few, right? I mean, three. All right. So maybe something's going to happen. I know the original star is going to be in the season finale, right? Which should boost the ratings, if nothing else. Maybe something will happen. All right, I have nothing else to say about this terrible show. Although it was only the second most terrible thing I watched yesterday. Because Naomi was more terrible.
What was more terrible?
Naomi. The new DC-based show on that show is barely coherent, in my opinion.
I don't know. I watched a couple. It's different. I don't think I disliked it as much as you did, but I don't know that I'm going to watch it.
Because it makes absolutely zero sense.
It has some weird things. It's got some weird stuff. And some of the people can't act, but that's a whole other issue.
We won't be covering it on this show.
No.
All right. So,
Yep.
So before we move on, do you have any announcements, Jamie?
No, other than I'll say I think I'm waiting for confirmation, but I think I'm doing Snowpiercer Press Day tomorrow. So people can send me questions if they want for the cast. And I'm also doing the two leads of Astra and Lily Save the World. And I'm waiting to see what else. But, yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything. I've mostly just been watching screeners lately. So I have Resident Alien coming out, but I already did those interviews. That was last week. With that is very good. That show is hilarious. I love that show. It's so funny. I've seen the first three of that. So that's coming back.
Cool.
And there's more Discovery Witches things coming up. I told you guys I talked to Alex Kingston, River, also Paul River. So that's going up soon. I have one other one for that show too. But yeah,
cool.
I'm trying to think anything else that's been... I don't think there's really anything else I've seen other than screeners. There's stuff that hasn't aired yet, so I can't really talk much about.
Yeah.
And to say they were all better than 4,400. I'll say that.
I believe that.
So, I was trying to think. All right. There was something else I've seen, though, I was going to mention that I can't. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I did watch, I watched two good things. I did watch, I've been telling you guys, I watched that Stay Close. I ended up watching, what's the other one called? Safe. I ended up watching the third.
Safe.
What's his name? Corbin Benson? What's his name?
Corbin Burnson from LA Law?
No, what's his name? AJ O's his name is. The executive producer of the show. That's the writer of these stories, the mysteries.
Oh.
Strange.
Harlan. Corbin
Harlan. Harlan Corbin. I don't know. Anyway, they're on Netflix. They're all good. All three of them are good. How's that? No, they are good, though. I like them a lot.
Yeah, I like Safe a lot. I haven't watched any of the others yet.
Yeah, the other two are good, too. But anyway, that's on Netflix. So that's neither here nor there. But that's the only other thing I've watched, I think. So, all righty. Well, you guys still got, what, another show you watch?
The Expanse, yes.
Yes, we do.
No, we haven't talked about Expanse yet because it's going to take us a while. We did Boba Fett before you joined.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to take off then. I might eventually watch it. I'd like to. Knowing it has a solid end, too, and knowing how many there are
It's a really good show, Jamie.
A little easier.
It's one of the best things we've watched in a while.
I think Jamie started it when it first came out, right?
Invested.
And then had to abandon it.
Yeah, I started it. I couldn't get into it. I'm not a big space, which is funny because I know I like Battlestar Galactica, but I'm just not really a big space opera person. I never was, and I just could not really get into it. I watched a few of them. I think I watched up to where the one guy got, I don't know if he got beheaded or thrown on an airlock or something. He's a comedian. He has, curly hair. That was, as far as I watched in the screeners. And that was I watched, and then I never caught up. Yeah, I didn't go very far. That's a show that you have to, I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I think you have to invest time in actually, that's one you really have to pay attention to. There's a lot of political stuff
going on
and everything.
Yeah.
It isn't a simple show. Yeah, yeah. I just could not, I had trouble getting into it, and I didn't have enough time, and I just never got there. But I will eventually.
Fair enough, but if you get some time, it does develop into, probably the best space show I've seen, and one of the best science fiction. It's up there with Continuum in my book and Fringe.
Yeah,
I will have to definitely watch it then. I'll probably
definitely the best thing I've watched in quite a long time.
You'll be like, what? What have I been missing? I got to get all these books now. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. You seemed to enjoy your interview. They went really well. So people can, of course, read and watch those as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a nice night, guys.
Cool.
Have
a good week, Jamie.
Is 4,400 on next week? Because I think that's still
4,400 is
probably.
On. And 4,400, is Snowpiercer back? No. By next week?
No.
Snowpiercer, Snowpiercer and Resident Alien are both on Monday.
Okay.
Oh, they are? Okay. Well,
got,
we will.
And 4,400 on Monday. We got this is the Monday block.
I don't know why
Monday
I was thinking
covers.
It was the 26th.
Oh, Jesus. Monday. Oh, my God. My Mondays are going to suck.
Yeah.
Why?
You have to watch a ton of TV because everything
shows.
We watch airs on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right.
All right. Well, guys, have a good night, and I will talk to you next week.
All right.
All right. Good night, Jamie.
Night. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. I'm very sad, AJ, that this excellent show has gone off the air.
Me too.
And that it has ended. I mean, I did enjoy the ending and found it satisfying.
Yes, I did too.
Did you?
Very satisfying.
Yeah?
Yes. Extremely satisfying.
Well, yeah, because a certain character we hate was killed. So that was great. Not just, but, you know, when he, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to talk about in this episode, but it's always a great finale when, like, the major villain is killed off and you still have, like, 10 or 15 minutes of show to go. Like, he ends up getting killed in the second half of the episode, but early enough that, like, a ton of stuff still happens. Not a ton, but, like, a lot of stuff. And, of course, an enormous and awesome development happens at the end with Kamina.
Oh, my God, so
which
great.
Was fantastic. Yeah. That was so, I mean, there was just so much to like. Like every, there's only one part that I maybe didn't like, and I'm sure it's the same part that you maybe didn't like about this episode. Right?
Go ahead.
Part that you didn't like? Well, that Philip gets away, right? I mean, Philip escaped.
I actually foresaw that.
I mean, I can see how you would, because are they really going to kill Naomi's? So, I mean, Naomi believes he's killed, and I thought that scene was very well done with her and Holden, where, you know, the look on Naomi's face when she presses the button to eject the core, knowing that she's going to kill her son. I mean, I love that Naomi was the one who did it, who had to do it. It had to be Naomi to sign Philip's death warrant. And are they going to kill a kid? I mean, but now I don't know if he's a character
he's
in the next novel. There are still three more novels, right? He's not a kid. He's a, he's a young man. I don't know if he remains a character going forward, but he's an idiot.
I don't either.
We have talked many times, and you in particular have said many times, there's no redeeming this. How do you redeem this character who helped to murder millions of innocent people on Earth and shot his best friend because he was in a snit, right? And, like, he's done so many bad things, and can you redeem Philip? And then he gets away in the end for the chance to be redeemed. He has the opportunity to seek redemption, I guess, now. Not something that you or I would be interested in seeing, so thank God we don't have to see it, I guess. But I also
now,
felt like the way
you...
he... Yeah?
Go ahead, finish your thought.
Well, the way they did it where, I mean, I guess the only way you could do it was to show Naomi, like, thinking he's dead, and then reveal that he lived. If you do it the other way, if you see him get away, and then it robs the scene with Naomi of its emotional value, right? So I can appreciate why they had to do it that way, but just the way he got away, and he snuck out and got in his little lifeboat or whatever after Rosenfeld was killed, and he has that conversation with his father, which seemed to seal it for him. It's funny what, I don't know, for that to be the moment that he finally realizes his father is not worth following was a little anticlimactic. And then it just seemed a little too easy the way he, like, gets into the pod and escapes in the middle of it.
Oh, nobody was watching
away. Well, yeah, because nobody really thought he was worth anything except for being Marcos, who's a symbol more than a person. I don't know.
I totally foresaw that. I didn't have a problem with it. Did you notice the name... that he put when the pod asked for his name, that he put Nagata.
Well, you can't be called Linaros, you'll get wiped out by the next people you run into.
Well, this is true. This is true. But we see this coming. I mean, every week we see it coming where he kind of, you think he's going to turn the corner and then he doesn't. And then you think, you know, it's been, been going on for weeks. But I kind of like, I mean, again, he still can't be redeemed, but he can try and do right. You know what I mean? Kind of like, I mean, not on the same level, but Clarissa, you know, she killed a lot of innocent people. And she, but you know what the difference is? The difference is, though, she owns it. And an argument can be made for Philip, you know, the parental abuse that he has endured.
Clarissa did blow up a ship with thousands of people on it, right, to try to frame James.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
I did like the scene with Marco and Philip, and they're going back and forth after Rosenfeld died, which really upset me. I was like, oh,
I know. She's also a horrible person.
I liked her.
Oh, Rosenfeld.
Yeah. You know, and he's going back and forth with Marco. And when he, the moment he says, when did I choose this? I thought, that's it right there.
He's going to live.
And then, you know, and then his, and then he follows it up. His, I forget what Marco says, but he follows it up with, I didn't until now. And I'm thinking, he's not saying what Marco thinks he's saying. And then when everything was happening and they were going towards the ring, I was like, I said to Artie, I was like, he's going to escape. I was like, he's going to get in a pod and he's not going to, it's going to turn out he wasn't in the ship. And sure enough.
Yeah. What Marco says to him when he says, I didn't ask for any of, when did I have a choice? Is that what he says? When did I choose any of this?
He says, when did
Marco
I choose
says,
this?
And Marco says, this is maybe not exact phrasing, but I think what Marco says is, don't you realize the gift you've been given? Don't you realize what you've been given? Or don't you realize the value of what you've been given? Or he says, or something like that.
About
what you've been given. And that's what Philip says. Not until just now. I do now. And that's the moment you knew. You're like, oh, he's going to get away, the little bastard.
Yeah. Yeah, that I think what he realizes in that moment is what he was trying to be, you know, what Naomi was trying to give him, I think, is what he realizes in that moment.
Oh, that's good, AJ. Good interpretation there. Yeah. That's when he realized what Naomi was trying to do for him, and that's why he takes her name at the end. Smart.
Yeah.
That was a little... I don't know if he goes on to become a character going forward. I was surprised.
Yeah, I don't either.
So I was surprised. Was I surprised that nobody else died? So nobody in the main cast dies. Rosenfeld is like the only person who dies in this. And what's his name? Drummer's friend who, like, all drummers flee, including that Golden Bow guy.
He went out in he went out badass, though.
He did. Though. He really did. He was like
he kamikaze'd the Pella.
Yes. He was the new, what's his name, drummer's friend who got killed that she inherited the Tynan from. The guy with the beard. The old pirate.
He'll
come to us in a minute. He'll come to us. But
Ashford.
Ashford, yeah. He kind of was like the new, he went out in a very Ashford-like kind of manner, I felt like. Like, he really did them all proud. That was awesome. So he does it because Drummer was about to do it, right? Drummer was like getting ready to do it. She's like, I'm going to kamikaze.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we have the same idea, but I beat you to it, boss Mang. So that was, the party wanted Drummer to be able to be the one to get him. Like, everyone wanted to be the one to get him, right? And I wanted Drummer, but it had to be Naomi. You knew it had to be Naomi, right? But that didn't mean I couldn't keep wanting it to be Drummer to get to do it. Because Drummer has suffered a lot also at because of Marco. But you knew, it wasn't going to... wasn't meant to be. But so she doesn't die. There were times when I was like, can really the whole cast get out of this and nobody die? Like, someone's got to die, right? Like, and nobody dies. and that crazy firefight down on the Dina station, like, we had to all be worried for, I mean, I didn't really think Amos would die. I was kind of worried for Bobby. Like, I could see
Bobby being
a character who would die, right? I mean,
well,
Bobby was badass
in
that scene.
That's the thing, though, you got to remember, is the show is ending on book 6, essentially, and there's 3 more.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And not for nothing, if you think about it, we got a main character death. It just happened last year. Through no fault of the character. Alex.
Oh, yeah, Alex, yeah. Alex was a huge character death. That doesn't happen.
Which wasn't Alex's fault. That was Cass Anvar's fault.
Yeah.
Pieces.
Yeah, and that doesn't happen in the book, or not in this book.
You know, and
so
that's what
I said. Go ahead.
I actually said to Artie at one point, I was like, you know, it really sucks that Cass Anvar was such a piece of shit. I was like, could you imagine if he had been piloting the Rossi instead of Holden this whole time, how awesome that would have been?
That would have been awesome. Yeah, that would have been great. One of my favorite things about Alex
when he would do something unbelievable with the Rossi, you know, he'd always have some kind of quip or comment or, you know, patting himself on the back type of moment, but it was always so great. Whereas Holden is just like, he's very Holden.
Yeah.
Holden doesn't have those comments.
I mean, I really loved the scene last week. The best, I mean, there were numerous scenes this season that were remembrances of Alex. But that scene where Amos and Bobby started singing his favorite country music song was one of my favorite scenes of the season, really. That was great last week. I thought Bobby could really die down there. I thought Amos could die, but I didn't really think Amos would die, partly because Amos, if I'm writing those books, Amos has potential for future storyline with Peaches, right? It would be really a sin for him to die. He has so questioned, like, why they're even in this war this season. And then for him to be the one, you know, he's the guy who says, like, does anybody really want to run for cover right now? Like, let's stay here and fight it to the end. Like, he's the guy who really, like, commits to it at the last minute. And I was like, oh, my God, don't let him get killed now. Please don't let him get killed right now.
when he first tells Clarissa that he's going down to Medina Station, he's like, you know, if I'm going to die, he goes, I want to at least be looking at the guy that punches my ticket, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, there was no way. And I'll tell you what, that is also, I like how he's like, all right, this is what we're going to do. All right, when I give the word, we're all going to go out and we're going to, son of a bitch. It's like, where'd Bobby go? And meanwhile, she's already halfway down. blowing shit up. And he's like, God damn it.
Yep.
Which, not for nothing, that was a smart move by Bobby, because her suit is tenfold better than all theirs.
Her suit is so advanced.
Like
she kept her Martian armor when she left the Marines.
That was the best of the armor, too. That was like so high tech.
Yeah, yeah, she's like an elite level armor she has. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it was when they were all eating that last meal. I said to Artie, I was like, "Oh, it's gonna be their last meal."
Somebody's gonna die.
we're never gonna see this again. No, not even because somebody was gonna die.
This is
the last time they're all gonna be together like this. Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah. I love that you talk about how Amos is like, here's what we're going to do, and she's gone. He kind of, like, that comes back around. Whether he gets her back, he doesn't get her back, but, like, in the firefight. And the firefight on Medina Station, I mean, that battle scene was just great. That was really pretty well done. I mostly was able to follow everything that was happening, which doesn't always happen in, like, space battle scenes, right? And that was a really well done fight, and I really thought anybody could they could die at any moment. And I also loved when Bobby's like, okay, everybody retreat, and she's gonna go in, right? She yells them all to retreat. She's taking her armor and going forward, and Amos goes, fuck that, everyone cover and fire. and he just like countermands her order, and like everyone just falls in behind Amos to cover Bobby. I love that. That was great. Amos is pretty good.
Yeah, that
good,
whole
you know,
thing was amazing.
Amos is a great. He has no military experience. He's got no, you know, infantry experience, but he definitely is the guy that Bobby wants at her right hand the whole way through. That was a great scene.
Yep.
I thought it was really just really well done with the way they managed all the shots, most of the CGI was pretty good. I'm glad that Amos said it, because I was thinking it, wow, they really do look like portable toilets. And I think it's Naomi says, how do you feel? And he says, I feel like I'm locked in a portable toilet. They did look like thousands of porta pots falling down to the station. I thought that was really well done. We should talk a bit about the whole Laconia business, which has not been
of
our favorite. Okay, we will. We'll get around to it. Better stuff.
I really thought, you kept expecting somebody to die. I thought Clarissa was going to die, because having, you know, her fainting spells, and then she hooks herself up to the machine that shows that she has a 5-year life expectancy. I had a bad pun. I said to Artie, I was like, oh no, Peaches is rotting.
Well, she kind
so
of
I figured
is.
After. When she saw that she only has a 5-year life expectancy, I was thinking, if anybody's going to give themselves up because, you know, for something, it's going to be Clarissa, because
she's
got 5 years
anyway.
Left.
She knows she's
Which is I thought what was going to happen when they were having the whatever the heck fell apart, and she's like, I'll fix it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she's done for.
Yeah. And then she didn't even use her mod.
Fix it with a ratchet strap.
Yeah. So, like, having the consequences of having those mods is, I mean, it's insufficient.
Short lifespan.
Like, it's a consequence of the things she did to try to frame Holden, right? Like, she had those mods installed as part of her master plan to destroy James Holden. And so it's fitting that she does have some consequences of what she's done. But it's not really adequate for killing thousands of innocent people. But whatever.
No.
And who knows if that plays out in future books. I know that not everyone. Okay, I don't know who dies or whatever. But the next three novels cover like 30 years. I think there's either a 30-year time jump. It's a 30-year time jump at one point in some of these books we had, or maybe they just cover a 30-year. I mean, it's amazing that we've gone through 6 novels and covered, like, feels like only, like, 3 years in the life of these people, right? So I guess maybe not all of them live out the whole story. I mean, I guess really I thought maybe somebody would die, and you wanted somebody to die in a finale, but this really isn't a finale. Like, this is the series finale, but it's not the story finale, right? So maybe people would die in the last book. Like, I'm expecting somebody to die in the last episode. What I should be saying is, like, oh, I wonder who makes it to the last book. And maybe that's probably why everybody makes it, because we're like, only 2/3 of the way through the story as the authors have conceived it.
Except
maybe Marco was going to die.
Yeah, well, of course.
As usual.
So, as usual for me, the highlight of every episode lately is Christian.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
She's the best.
I mean, there was 3 or 4 really good lines. I mean, when she says, when Holden, you know, when they're first planning everything on how to stop Marco. And I forget exactly, I don't remember what Holden says, but she goes, you're such a fucking optimist. It's a miracle you lasted this long.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Like,
such a Christian line.
And that wasn't even my favorite line of the show, but that was definitely up there. You know, and then we get, you know, And then, you know, at the end of the episode when, you know, they're trying to figure out, you know, basically a peace treaty and everything. And I, you know, I, that's something I really appreciate about this show. Like, it's, I, you know, I was just saying before how the government, you know, I talk about a sci-fi show and I'm worried about something being realistic. You know, when we were talking about 4400, but this show is so realistic with the political
yeah.
side of things. Like it make, you know, like I love the animosity still from Drummer, even after everything that's happened. I absolutely love the back and forth with her and Christian. Like they're on completely opposite sides yet in the same mindset. It's so great. And, you know, and Christian's got this uphill battle that she's been fighting since pretty much the first time we meet Christian because of the person she used to be and who she is now and getting people to believe that she's not that same person anymore who would torture a Belter to get information she wants at any cost necessary, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Christian has,
yeah.
I mean, Christian has probably gone through the biggest evolution from the first episode. And so
yeah,
watching that whole scene, and, you know, and I love watching Holden sit at the end of the table there while everybody else, you know, the Martians, you know, the Martians are going at it and Christian and Kamina. And, you know, he's just, I love the way, I love watching him just watch them, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of
mm-hmm.
course, Christian makes the, you know, suggestion, how about somebody that's beyond reproach takes, you know, the title? And obviously, it was obviously Holden because you think about it, I mean, the Rocinante throughout this whole show is the only time consistently that you see a Martian, an Earther, and a Belter all working together.
Yeah.
You know?
It's yeah.
the only
mm-hmm.
time in the show that, it, you know, I mean, that their crew is multifaceted, you know? So,
yeah.
obviously, Holden is obviously the right choice. And
yeah.
his
I
little,
really,
him, and Kamina, him and Kamina, their little trickery at the end there was brilliant. And the fact that they, you know, you find out that they planned it all along. Like, they knew that Christian was going to, like, they basically tricked Christian into doing it, which is so great, you know, and I love it because, like, as he's like, at my first order, and she's like, don't you do it, because she sees it coming, she's like, don't you say
yeah.
it, don't you say it, and then he resigns and appoints Kamina as president, and
yeah.
she walks up to it, and she says, you duplicitous little shit.
yeah, yeah.
Oh, but even before that, Holden had a good line when he was giving his speech, which was great because he says, someone once told me you shouldn't believe what people say, just watch what they do. That was Christian that said that to him.
Yeah.
that's how she knew what was coming next. And then she called him the duplicitous little shit.
Yeah.
But that whole conversation that they have, you can see Christian, like, she has to disagree with him, but at the same time, you can tell she knows he's right. You know, like she's proud of him. She's proud of what he just did because she knows it was the right thing to do.
I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. I don't know really if he and Kamina planned it from the jump. I kind of felt like Holden got that idea in the meeting. Like when Christian says, okay, it should be somebody who's totally neutral and blah, blah. And Holden says, okay, I do it with certain conditions. I was like, is that the moment where Holden, like, gets this bright idea? Or do you think that he and Kamina were like, okay, going into the meeting, Kamina, just keep opposing, and eventually she'll come around and suggest me. Like, that's a huge – do you think that was the plan? I felt like maybe –
the way
– I'm like, oh, in that moment in the meeting, he got it.
The way that Christian – said it to him, I got the feeling that it was planned from the start.
Yeah. I mean, it was...
It was brilliant.
Yeah,
that's all I know.
It was brilliant, and we'll never know
regardless of when they thought of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I really, you know, I thought that... I also loved that scene you were talking about how even after they fought a war together, the animosity is still there, and it hasn't, you know, the old hatred hasn't, or the old distrust hasn't gone away. and how could it, right? Like, Kamina, this definitely was a situation of, like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they work together. And Kamina was very hostile throughout the entire last several episodes. Like, you know, she
rightfully so, too.
Yeah, rightfully so, yeah. I mean, she's a belter, and yeah, totally rightfully so. I really thought one of the greatest lines in that meeting is when, you know, they're all arguing about who's going to be in charge, and Kamina keeps saying, look, it's not fair. Like, you guys have two votes. It's two inners and one belter, and it can never be fair.
That was a great point.
I guess it was, and I guess Earth and Mars maybe don't see themselves that way, but to a belter, Earth and Mars are basically the same, right? And it was a great point. And, you know, Christian, you know, she can't help herself falling, I don't want to say falling into her old ways. This is what Christian does. This is her entire career. And she says, listen, you have to be reasonable. And, which I'm sure only made Kamina want to punch her in the face. And she's like,
yeah.
I'll give you my word. She's like, I'll give you my word that your people will always be considered and have an equal voice. And then Kamina says, no, I tell you what, why don't you let the belt totally be in charge? The belt takes total control, and you have my word that your interests will always be, like, taken into account. And there's, like, silence, right? And then Kamina says, how come your word is good enough for me, but my word is not good enough for you?
Yeah,
and
that was great.
To me, was, like, one of the was a great, great line.
Definitely a highlight.
Like, brought that meeting. Yeah, and everybody, like, Mars and Earth have to, like, stop and understand that, right? And that's when James says, I don't know. Maybe that's when James got the idea, maybe not. I don't know. But it was a great point. It was a great point. Like, even if Christian is a different person now, I don't know. Like, had things gone differently, had Kamina not come on board or whatever, I don't know if really Christian would have ever really been able to treat the belt differently. I mean, she would. She wouldn't torture her anymore, but she would still have all these generals and politicians around her who wanted to do things differently, right? Like, she stood up against Mars a couple weeks ago when they wanted to attack, and she's like, Earth is not going with you, sorry. I mean, it's a brilliant idea. It's the only way, right? And Kamina is respected. Like, James knows that Officer Allen respects Drummer. And that Drummer would be probably a fair person, or at least Drummer's not going to try to kill people. It was brilliant solution and really the only solution, because James would kind of suck at that job, I think, don't you? Holden would not be good at that job.
No, he really wouldn't.
Union. First of all, he's not cut out for a desk job, right? Second of all, Naomi would have to, quit flying to Refinante and sit around, like being his wife or whatever? I don't know what was going to happen, right? Like, he wouldn't be good at that job. First of all, he's too honest. He would be a terrible negotiator, don't you think? Like, he's not a guy I feel like could.
But that's what they wanted him, because he's honest. And he's not going to pick sides. He's not going to say Earth is better or Mars or the Belters. He's not going to ever be biased. He's going to, you know, he would have made the decision based on what was best for everybody. You know, nobody was going to be able to flip him a 20 under the desk to get him to change his mind.
You're right. I just think easy to be played.
No, but I'm saying that's when they chose him. I completely agree with you that he would have been bad at it, because he would have been trying to find a middle ground, and, you know, I completely agree he would have been bad at
it.
No.
He'd be trying to make everybody happy. Nothing would ever get done.
Exactly.
People would play him. People would lie to him. And he'd be like, I'm honest. I can't believe they're not honest. Right? Like.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. He'd be bad at it. So it's the perfect way for it to end. I'd watch the next season, whatever that was going to be. Like, to me, that would be interesting to watch. I mean, you know, Jamie talked a little bit about how it was slow and the politics was not always her favorite thing. And they were slow in season one, but they've become such a great aspect of the show that I personally would find it interesting to see how this trade union works out.
I remember
me not liking the show.
I remember season one, I remember there was quite a few times you were like, I had to watch the episode again because the politics are so much, like, I got to pay more attention. You're like, I try watching the show while doing nothing, and I can't do that. I've got to pay attention to the politics. And once you got invested and get your mind wrapped around it, that was your favorite part of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the first part of the first season, there's not a lot of action. It's setting up all of this. And all the belter stuff. And it does pay off. I had to really invest in it more and give it some time. And not be, I guess maybe I expected to be more spoon-fed. You know, look, I watch a lot of stuff on the Sci-Fi Network, not to bash them, but the shows tend to be simpler on Sci-Fi. And this was, like, really complex and really, okay, so I feel like you could really see the Earth position. I'm not going to say I could ever necessarily see the Mars position. Mars was mostly seen as, like, an aggressor and a bad faith partner. Bobby was, like, the only representation of Mars that was really a...
And Alex.
Alex was sort of like, he wasn't in exile, but he no longer lived on Mars. He lived on the right, he'd abandoned his family. He'd been, like, Alex was a Martian, but was not, like, go Mars. Right?
But he still defended,
like,
Mars
Bobby.
A lot. Whenever the conversations came up, he would still defend him.
Bobby's our Martian character who is the only person associated with the Mars military who wasn't a total jerk and liar.
Yeah.
So speaking of the Mars military.
Yeah, I was going there myself.
How they totally screwed Marco at the last second. that guy who used to be a Martian admiral. He's gone.
Yeah, he's the one that took off with the protomolecule. And that's actually funny because when Marco was talking, I think to Rosenfeld, it was either Rosenfeld or Philip, and he said something about it. And I went, you know, he's like, you know, he had that whole, I know something nobody else does, ha, 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 ha. And I went, oh, my God. I was like, this is going to end badly. I was like, they're going to be at Medina Station. They're going to be like, yeah, we're going to stop this. And then all of a sudden, they're going to come through with, like, this protomolecule shit. And I was like, this is not going to end well. So I was very excited and relieved when he was like, yeah, Marco, you know, I rethought things, and you're on your own. Request denied. And transmission. And I was like, and the look on Marco's face was priceless. Like, he knew he was fucked. And I was like, yes.
Yep. Yep. And he never, like, you know, that's like his ego, right? Like, he just totally, like, how could Marco, like, totally trust this guy who had totally betrayed, he'd betrayed his own people. He betrayed Mars. He betrayed the Inners. He betrayed all kind of decent people who don't want to be in a war. And Marco, like believed him and went for it for, I don't know why. And then to be screwed is like, that's just Marco's ego, I guess, thinking that, like, everybody's going to see his greatness and do what he says or whatever. Yeah. It was fantastic.
And we got the Laconia story actually, you know, essentially had a point. I guess they wanted to, I mean, there's more to the whole thing. Obviously, like, next season, we would have gotten a lot more of the Laconia story. So I'm not really sure why they decided to put a lot of it in, because, you know, it's stuff from the books, obviously. So,
yes,
oh, did you? I was going to say, you have another interview that I haven't watched yet.
I interviewed Ty Frank and Daniel Alexander, who wrote the novels, and they're executive producers and writers, and Narayan Shankar, who's the showrunner. And I asked those guys, my question is not the most eloquent ever, but I was like, oh, my God, that doesn't even feel like a finale. That feels like a beginning. that whole Laconia storyline. It was a slow burn, and then, like, wow. And so why did you choose to, like, end the season that way? And they were like, because that's how the book ends. That was in the book. although they did say that, they're like, well, basically that's where the book ends. And, like, we couldn't just not do the protomolecule. The protomolecule was so much of the whole show for five seasons.
No, I understood that part.
We couldn't just not do the protomolecule. They did say that Strange Dogs is a novella. It's the, you know, there are nine novels in the series, and then there's a whole bunch of novellas and short stories that are, like, associated material.
Yes.
And Strange Dogs
that.
Is one of them.
Yeah.
And,
I didn't know that.
And they really thought Strange Dogs was a good way to bring it in, but they were like, well, basically, that's how the book was, so that's why we did it that way. And we couldn't just not do the protomolecule, although they kind of didn't, because, you know, in the end, Naomi has this idea, you know, that we saw that bit with the ring entities earlier in the season, and she's like, let's wake up the ring entities. But the ring entities are not the protomolecule people, right? Like, the ring entities wiped out the protomolecule people.
Yes.
The protomolecule builders. So the protomolecule is out there, and it seems like Admiral Martian Man, whatever his name is, I forget his name.
Admiral Martian Man.
He's really, like, flirting with danger, right? The ring builders, the protomolecule people, protomolecule builders built the rings. The ring entities wiped out the protomolecule people and took over the rings. And they're basically as powerful as gods compared to us, right?
Yeah.
Am I remembering all this correctly?
Yeah.
So he's courting disaster, but so I felt like that, I mean, that's protomolecule storyline, but that's not really, like, we don't really know what happened with the protomolecule or where it is or what this guy is doing with
it. Where it's going to go.
Except, yeah. So anyway, they said, yeah, we did it because that's how the book was. So I asked them about that. I asked them about Kamina's speech when she says unbent, unbowed, unbroken in the previous episode. I was like, I asked them if that was a shout-out to Game of Thrones, and there was some discussion about that in the interview. And I asked them something else. What else did they – oh, I asked them about, like, how they really, really broke down all their female characters and took everything away from them this season. Like, Kamina in particular – but also Kristen and Naomi have all lost everything coming into this last episode. And I asked them a little bit about that. And Daniel Alexander said, being a protagonist is a terrible thing. So anyway, that's a little, like, 3 or 4 minute thing that's up also. In addition to the interview, there's an interview with Wes Chatham and Nadine Nicole. We play Amos and Peaches.
Oh, cool.
That's up also. A little short thing about where they've been this season, which couldn't go posted till now because the mods, you know, are basically going to kill Clarissa eventually. So, like, the interview wasn't really spoiler except for that one little thing, so that's why it was held until now.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are up.
So I have made the decision that, you know, with the way, I mean, that as finales go, that was great. I mean, one of the I know endings are hard. I say it all the time. You know, I mean, so many people I've talked to lost 50-50 how people feel about that. Dexter is my most hated ending of a show ever. Fringe. I can live with Fringe's ending. There was a lot of reasons I did not like it. Endings are hard. This might be one of the best endings I've ever seen for something. It was so good. And again, partly it's a good ending because it's the end of a book, not the end of the story. Because the story is still out there. The show is just ending, unfortunately. So I have decided I need more. So I am going to – I've always been on the edge. I'm going to read the books.
And go back from the beginning. Yeah.
Yep.
I want to read them all, though. My problem is do I put them in line ahead of a whole bunch of other stuff that I need to read? But to read 9 books, I should have already been started, right?
Well, I was curious how I wikied. I killed a wiki. And each book is the longest book is like 550 pages. So
it's not like Game of Thrones where everyone is like a minimum of 500 pages.
Yeah, the longest book is 500 pages. I mean, they on average, I would say, I think the shortest one of the novels, I think it's like 450, you know? So
okay, yeah.
They average around 500 pages.
So.
And I can knock that
cool.
out in a week. So I look at it as worst case scenario, it's going to take me maybe 2 months to read them all, if that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, except you can't read on Mondays. You got to watch so much TV on Monday nights.
Yeah, right? One other thing that is very amazing that they did this, I don't know if you've seen it online or you caught any of it, but the three squads that went down to Medina Station, somebody on the internet, this had been lost, I would have caught this myself, I'm sure. This is not lost.
Yeah.
I don't do those things anymore. But there are people who still do this. And somebody caught something amazing that I did not pick up on. This has got to be one of the coolest Easter eggs on a TV show ever. So they had that when they were all calling out, saying when they were all saying, you know, in their toilets saying they were ready, and they had the screen of all the names and everything, everybody in the pods.
Yeah.
So Alpha Squad, Bobby's squad. In her squad was G. Akbar, as in Gael Akbar from Return of the Jedi. D. Quaid, Douglas Quaid from Total Recall. D. Bowman David Bowman from 2001: A Space Odyssey. C. Shepard, which is a character in a Mass Effect game. Amos, of course. D. Idaho is Duncan Idaho from Dune. A. Rogan was Alex Rogan from The Last Starfighter. Did you ever see The Last Starfighter back in the 80s?
No, but I once dated a boy named Alex Rogan.
Jason Nesmith from, you must have seen Galaxy Quest with Tim Allen. That was Tim Allen's character.
No, I've not seen that.
E. Buck, which is Edward Buck for a character in the Halo games. And then Bravo
mm-hmm.
Squad, we have Ripley from Alien.
Yeah.
Dwayne Hicks, also from Alien.
Hicks, yeah,
Joseph
that was
Cooper
from, character.
Yep. Joseph Cooper from Interstellar. John Anderton from Minority Report. Jeanette Vasquez, another member from
Aliens. Wow.
William Hudson, also from Aliens. Yeah, pretty much this whole squad is Aliens.
Hudson might be the Bill Pullman character, yeah.
Rick Deckard from Blade Runner.
Right.
And Jack O'Neill from Stargate.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed
on
a number of levels. And then there's a Charlie Squad.
Yep, the Charlie Squad was Lucky Star from a book. I'd never heard of this book. There's a book series called Lucky Star. Louise Banks from Arrival. Kevin Flynn from Tron. Roy Neary from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Johnny Rico from Starship Troopers. Kara Thrace from Battlestar Galactica. Sarah Connor from Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Stone from Gravity. And William Riker from Star Trek.
Wow.
That's awesome that they did that. Yeah.
That's awesome that they did that. And, like, whoever was that, like, special effects person who put in those, or whoever decided that we're going to put in these screens, this is what's going to say, is awesome that they spent all that time doing that. It's incredible. And also, like, whoever that person is on the internet who saw that, was going to Google every single one of these and find out who they are, amazing. That's one of the greatest Easter eggs ever, or like 30 of the greatest Easter eggs ever.
Yes, that's cool as hell.
That's really cool. Yeah. Wow. No, I didn't notice that. I did look at it and saw a few names, but I mean, there was so much going on in that scene, right? Sad to, like, move on. That's cool. That's almost a good note maybe to start to wrap this up on. I don't know.
That's why I saved it for the end.
Yeah. We didn't really talk about Laconia, but we did. Like, I don't think we need to talk about the details of what happened with that kid coming back.
It was Pet Sematary in space.
It was. I think maybe if you'd read the books, maybe you'd be like, that was kind of great because you knew where that was going and what it's setting up.
Well, I might feel that way in a couple weeks when I get to book 6.
If there was a 7th season, like, it definitely felt like they were setting up the next season, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Which we know there's not going to be one of. But it doesn't really feel like I was left hanging. Like, I don't feel like that's a thread that wasn't wrapped up. I think that was a perfect amount of teasing what could happen next for these characters.
I felt like showing that structure of the protomolecule, and then him, and then finding out that, you know, this was all a plan of Marcos, and the Admiral saying, "Screw you," I felt that it, you know, brought it together in a satisfying way.
And even more so, it
kind of is foreshadowing because the Admiral says, he's like, "I've got gods to kill," is what he says to Marco.
Yes. So is he gonna try to go after the ring entities and
that's kind of what I thought.
Like, is he literally going to go after them? I mean, good luck to you. Like, they're like, is he really going to go after them? Because he wants, I mean, I guess what he wants is control of the rings, or does he want the protomolecule, or is he just using the protomolecule to, like, it's not clear what this guy wants, right? Does he just want control of the rings to control trade? He wants to control the protomolecule. And use it. I mean, that's a loaded, that could mean so many things and be such a loaded statement right there. I think this was a really good example okay, so the 9th book is out. So the show is not, I was going to say it's a good example of not letting the show get ahead of the novel. Like, we all saw what happened when Game of Thrones, the show, got ahead of the novels, right? And it all started going to shit when the TV people came to call the shots a little more, right? The 9th book, just came out, and these guys were ahead of us. If somebody made another season of it, I don't want to see another season of it unless all the same people are on it. Like, I think part of the success of the Amazon incarnation, it's not just that Amazon put the money into it. I mean, you and I talked about this 3 seasons ago when they made the jump to Amazon. You could really see the increase in budget happening. Suddenly we got off the spaceship and got onto planets or whatever. But a huge part of the success, I think, was the entire creative team coming over from the sci-fi production. I mean, I don't know if it was sci-fi original, what studio owns this or whatever, but they all came over together, right? Everybody comes over and they all stay intact and make this show together. And I think that was a really important part of it, don't you?
Absolutely.
I'm going to sneeze. Hang on one second. One second.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But yeah, I think there was a lesson here about not getting ahead of your source material. If you're going to base it on source material, I'm trying to think of things that got ahead of the source material and still were good. And I'm sure they're out there, right? But I don't know what they are.
you know, it all depends sometimes. I mean, Game of Thrones changed a lot of stuff even before they got ahead of the source material.
Yeah.
I mean, And that was the other thing. I mean, let's put it this way. You know, Game of Thrones would not have gotten ahead of the source material had they included more from the source material into the show. Like, you figure, Jon Snow, wait, what book are we on? We're waiting for book six, So book five is when Jon Snow dies.
Yeah.
How many seasons were there? Eight?
Eight. Jon Snow died.
Those books were so massive that you couldn't, the first Game of Thrones itself, like, the whole thing is called Song of Fire and Ice. Game of Thrones is the name of the first book. The first book is the smallest. The first season worked just doing beginning to the end of the first season within the confines of that book. After that, they didn't do the show justice by trying to do everything, excuse me, a season a book. The books were too massive.
Yeah.
So they cut a lot of stuff from the books out of the show. Had they included more stuff and done each, like, from book two on, I mean, you could have conceivably had 12 seasons of the show.
Yeah.
If you had cut the books in half per season.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I haven't read this Expanse series. I mean, I think it helps that when your characters are separated by thousands of miles and have to ride a horse, it takes them an entire book to get to find their friend, whereas in space you're just like bloop, somewhere there, right? But I think ultimately it's a lesson about being ahead of your source material and having from where I sit as a viewer watching these two shows, it feels to me as though the creators of The Expanse had a much stronger hand in creating the television program than George R. R. Michael was able to devote to Game of Thrones. Now, he was maybe too busy with all of his other projects, right? They didn't choose to involve him to this level, or he chose not to be involved to this level, right? But to me, like, look, I mean, you didn't see George R. R. Martin doing interviews after episodes and seasons the way these guys are, right? And they managed to write three more books and a bunch of novellas while they were making this television show. Not to criticize GRR, he's got a different method and a different piece of content he's writing, and it's a totally different thing, right? And I don't mean to criticize him as a writer. I mean, it's just an example of, like, when you make a show, here's what can happen from different ways of approaching it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. He was already writing the sixth book when the show started. So nobody imagined that
he's still writing the same book he was writing before Game of Thrones came on TV. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's still writing it. Of course, there's only one of him, and there are two of these guys.
Fair enough.
And my understanding is that they write different characters. Like, one of them writes, like, depending on which character is the POV character, they take turns writing the chapter for that character. So, anyway, I'm totally satisfied with it. I thought it was great. The story was wrapped up well, and it, like, emotionally was wrapped up well, and I agree with you on reading the books. I'm really excited to read a book where Kamina Drummer is now head of the trade union. Right, and half of the politician.
Oh my god!
Like,
oh my
good
god!
Luck, Kamina.
I'm so glad.
Good luck, Drummer.
So glad you mentioned Kamina again, because I almost forgot the best part of all this that I found out recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know you're not really a video game person, but I am extremely excited because I just found out that Telltale Games is creating an Expanse video game. And you will play as Kamina Drummer. And you will play as Kamina Drummer, and it's going to take place prior to the events of the show.
Oh, really? So it's like Drummer's life as a pirate in the belt?
Basic, yeah.
Because that's really
I am very
who
excited.
She was before, right? Was a pirate.
Yeah. Yes. I am very excited.
Yeah.
And anybody who doesn't know, Telltale Games is very famous for, you know, kind of playing having these kind of like choose your own adventure type adventure games. Most famously, you know, they've done Game of Thrones, Minecraft, but their biggest and bestseller and most popular was their Walking Dead series.
Oh, yeah?
There's a couple others that they've done that I can't think of. I think they did a Back to the Future game. But, yeah, their Walking Dead was definitely their best. I played the game. I played some of the Walking Dead. I played all the Game of Thrones, which was supposed to have more, but then they never did any more with it. So, yeah, I am very excited for this Expanse game. No release date or anything. This information just came out. You're going to play as Drummer, and it takes place before the first episode of the show.
Well, that's great, because that gives them probably a lot of freedom, and that's great. Wow. I'm almost surprised there hasn't been one yet.
I'm very excited.
And yet, so I don't know anything about this. I'm just going to, like, make something up here and speculate that I'm perhaps glad that these television and novel creators and authors and showrunners and whatever were not distracting themselves with the video game until they got the show done. Like, this is a criticism that we've had. I mean, this is a criticism a lot of people have had of G.R.R. Martin, that he's got all these spinoffs with HBO and he's got all these other books and all this other stuff that he's interested in. He's a lot of other interests, right, that distract him. And a lot of criticism of The Walking Dead is that Kirkman's got a lot of other things going. I mean, look, Kirkman finished The Walking Dead and moved on with his life, and he writes other things now. So I don't really maybe want to blame Kirkman, right? He did finish the comic series.
Yeah.
But that he had a lot of other stuff going on, and that Gimple had a lot of other stuff going on, and the intellectual property, he's got all these other things going on, and not, like, paying attention to the main story. So I'm happy you're getting your video game, and maybe it's great that it's coming out, the show's over. And now let all the internet fake stories begin about season 7. They're already starting.
They won't dupe me again.
Right. You see these headlines that say new season 7 of The Expanse, and then it basically the article says there is no season 7 of The Expanse, or...
Yeah.
Or it's like made up like British tabloid stuff, yeah. So, anyway...
All
great
right.
Show. I almost started rewatching the show almost right away. It's that good. This is not a show that I need to set aside. Like Lost, I had to put aside for a while before I could rewatch it.
Yeah. I could see myself. Artie and I have been watching so much stuff. Like, you know, I tell him different shows to watch and everything. And I was like, I said to him one day, I was like, because Damon's 8 now. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I'm going to have to do this again in a couple of years. Like, in 4 years, I'm going to start watching all the stuff I started watching with Artie when he was 12, when he turned 12.
Oh, my God.
I was like,
Artie will
do this shit again in 4 years.
And you'll be sitting down with, Artie will be 18, gone to college, and you'll be sitting down with Damon and being like, okay, so back in the 2000s, there was a show called Fringe. Oh, you're going to start with Lost, I guess. You know how I met your mommy? Watching a show called Lost.
But on that list of things that I'm eventually going to watch with Damon is going to be The Expanse.
Oh, yeah.
So that's when I will do my rewatch in probably about 5 years, maybe.
All right, yeah, you got to start him on. You're not even finished with the 14-year-old yet. You got to finish, get one kid fully through the canon
That's the thing, Karen. I don't think I'm ever going to be finished with the 14-year-old because it's like you think about it. I mean, I've got 46 years, almost 47, and it's like there's been so much I've watched and so many things I've enjoyed. Like there's been so many times where – like we just watched The Sandlot for the first time with the boys finally. And you know, it's just so funny. There's so many things I'm like, we haven't watched this yet or we haven't watched that yet. I'm like, oh, my God, that's one more thing we got to put on our list.
Boy, being a parent, it's really a lot of work.
It is. So much good TV and movies.
Oh, my God. I mean, your kids' intellectual and, and cultural development is an awesome responsibility that I see you take very seriously. I'm pleased to see that, AJ, but boy, it's a lot of work. Mm. Man.
So anyway, all right. I think that wraps us up for another week. And, oh, correction, Resident Alien is not on Monday. It's on Wednesday next week. So Resident Alien's 2 weeks off.
So we won't discuss for 2 weeks. So, all right, good. That gives me a chance to wrap up some other things I'm doing and watching. I'm almost finished with Station Garden. All right. Well.
All right.
It's been great. Another good night.
Yep.
We'll have a really short show next week with, I guess, just Snowpiercer and Boba Fett. Oh, and the 4400 next week.
Only 4400, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Oh, great.
A fond farewell to The Expanse. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us. And, Karen, have a good week.
We'll do it again next Tuesday. All right. Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.